for another...
On a Sunday.
On a Sunday.
It's almost like old time.
Yeah.
You want actually, me to say it?
It's actually 6:51 p.m. Eastern time right now, which is 51 minutes past the time we would normally start back in the day.
Yes.
Way but we had to eat first.
Because that is necessary.
That's how this show typically goes now.
Pretty much, yeah.
Bonnie shows up.
We eat. We pour drinks.
And then we do ghostly talk.
You have a beer, but I'm drinking water right now.
It's because you were drunk this weekend.
I'm drinking soda.
I wasn't drunk this weekend. I drank this weekend.
Oh.
I have an hour drive. So.
It's also that. Sunday, and we have work tomorrow.
No, I don't work till 12:30.
Oh, God.
I don't work, so.
I say this a lot.
It's all good.
It's tough for Amber to be Amber.
Oh, my God. Let's not give people the wrong impression.
Oh, I just did.
Oh, Amber, I think you're perfect.
I can't help that I work an afternoon job.
Yeah, well, it's afternoons. And.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, no.
There are a lot of people in the world that work afternoons.
Yeah.
Doesn't make them bad people.
Someone has to be somewhere in the afternoon.
You need people at places when you get off work so you can go places and buy things.
I'm not knocking anything.
That's what afternoon
just saying,
people are for.
But Amber's the one that said it. I have to be working noon tomorrow.
She didn't say it like that.
Yes, she did.
Oh, my God. No, she didn't.
You said it with more sass.
Yes, much.
I mean, maybe I had a little sass.
Are you guys seeing the screen out there?
Yes, we
can
see it.
All right. So we have some things we're going to talk about tonight. Some interesting things that have happened to our lovely co-host, Miss Amber.
And I will be as surprised as everyone else.
Well, yeah, because I got this call. Yeah, speaking of drinking. Last night about 2 o'clock in the morning, I finally got in contact with Amber after many calls. I'm like, where the hell's she at?
Yeah.
Because you were out of town this weekend, so, you know, just do our nightly call. And finally, Amber called, and I was at a party, so everybody was screaming and yelling.
Well, it was Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah. And Amber's like, well, you know, we'll get to that. But Amber said she saw something. We're gonna get to that later on in the show. How has you guys' weeks been? Like the last we've been a little bit here.
Incredibly, exceptionally uneventful, and that is a
good
blessing.
Because if we were gonna go and do Bonnie's week. You might as well sit down, put on a straight jacket, and hook the whiskey IV up to your arm and put a little heroin and cocaine
on
the side.
That's no joke. Like, when you were out of town a couple weekends ago, whenever it was, I came out here to visit Amber, and Amber's like, so, what's been going on? And I just, like, word vomited all over her, and she was like, holy crap, dude.
Really?
Oh, my God, it was bad. My brother-in-law's dad died. And later on that night, his uncle died. So his mom lost her husband and her brother all in the same day.
Oh, my God.
And then on that same day, my mom went back in the hospital. And then, yeah, it was just a slew of, I lost my job with.
But not because you're a shithead.
With like 6 hours warning that I was losing my job.
Yeah. You're selling the business.
Which was nice. I was like, oh, you're selling the business and moving to Florida. Great.
Cool.
I have 6 hours left in my day and apparently my job. Awesome.
Were they planning this for a while?
He must have been.
Well, it's not something you do overnight, obviously.
He had talked about it in the past. Like, he's been talking about moving to Florida since I started there. But this was just like he took a trip to Florida with his woman and apparently came back and decided that he was moving, but decided not to tell me until Friday, which was a shit move, in my opinion.
Oh.
Yeah, a little bit. That's a little poopy.
Yeah. And there's more stuff that went on that I unloaded on Amber that I'm not going to unload on everyone else because it's really personal and private family shit.
But. Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, I actually made a log of all the shit that's happened to me.
Yeah, I know. I saw it.
Yeah. And the reason I did this was because it was getting so overwhelming. I'm like, I have to write this down to organize my thoughts. So I did.
I didn't write it down. I just word vomited on Amber. And then she did a little reading for me, and then I was better.
419, 2018. Engine light on car while driving to Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Got that fixed during that day. 4-hour delay, but I got it, but it got fixed.
Right.
Came back from Milwaukee on 422. Broken water heater.
Naturally.
Since been replaced, thank goodness.
Yeah, we didn't have hot water for 4 days, and it was like living on the prairie.
Oh my god, that
sucked.
Miserable.
I had to wash dishes.
She was actually boiling water.
Yeah,
like,
because
if you
cook something that has oil or butter, you can't rinse that
right.
shit off with cold water.
Can't.
So I had to literally put like a boiling pot of water to just wash dishes.
Yeah.
I should have just put an apron and a dress on.
Oh, my God. If that ever happens, call me because I'm coming over.
That means the hot water tank broke again.
I, like, want to record that shit. I have to have it.
423. Engine light on car again while going to work. Fixed again, I hope. 424, I catch a cold. 424 also, basement walls had to be, I had to fix a basement wall here, so that cost more money. Where the studio is, not too far from where we're at right now, in this very basement. 425, brake line breaks on van. My other car. 426, driving van back from brake shop and hear a clicking from the driver's side rear wheel. You guessed it, nail in the tire. A little extra fuck you, I guess, to me and my
vehicle.
They were
like,
problems.
You know what, Scott?
He hasn't had enough.
You really haven't been dealing with anything, so
here's
a nail to brighten your day.
Let's see here. Yeah, okay, so I get the brakes fixed on the van on the 26th. The 28th, I'm driving the van to a show that we're playing with the band. Get the thing over 45 miles an hour, the ass end of the van starts shaking like a leaf. They did a shit job on the brakes. So, had to take that thing back and get that fixed. 429, sharpening and cleaning lawnmower blade with my dad. Hand slips, slice open my right thumb, bleed all over driveway while running in circles screaming.
Yeah, I don't think it's healing right.
I kind of actually wish that would have been recorded somewhere. Not because
it's
like,
healing fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
He kept trying to show it to me. He's like, what do you think it's doing? Like, I'm a doctor, and I was like ready to pass out. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't a cut.
Open.
This was a split. Like, I sliced the fucker right down.
Stop showing it to me.
It was horrible.
Ugh.
No, it's healing all right now. I got some stuff I have on there now, and it's actually working. I'll be all
right. I told him,
like,
put glue on it. For real.
Well, that's what I basically got.
It works. Yeah.
Well, I got the liquid bandage, bandage stuff. It's the same type. It smells like nail polish or nail polish remover or nail polish. I think it's the same shit. But it hardens, and it actually does. It keeps it together so it can heal. So it's actually pretty cool. It's looking better now. And I don't have to wear a damn Band-Aid either.
If you had went to the doctor, they probably would have put a couple stitches
in. I know they would have. They'd been like, we need to stitch you up. And I'd have been like, no, that sucks. Leave me alone.
Because
I hate stitches. So that's kind of where, we're in the next weekend here. And I'm hoping things have slowed down a little bit.
Well, they did for me. So maybe you just have to go through, like, the one really fucking intense, everyone's going to shit on your fucking head week to
the best
get
thing,
to like a calm week.
Well, there was a ray of hope, I think, because I was telling you guys about it, and it's easy to see. I went out on the porch Friday night just to chill out. The weather's finally gotten nice here in Michigan again.
Thank God.
So we're actually going outside. And I went on the porch and noticed one of my little figurines I have on the porch, high up on the wall, a bird decided to make a nest. Which
and
I
you being the nice person you are, you left it there.
I'm not going to mess with it.
I would have.
I'm not
going to
mess
that's
with it.
Me.
No, I'm not going to mess with it. Those guys, they can chill there. That they can have a little family if they want. It's totally cool. But it's cool. I got a picture of it. We're all looking at it right now, actually. And, that's like, to me, that's like kind of a cool ray of, I don't know, what do you want to call it?
It's not going to be cool when they start shitting all over the porch. So then you're going to get pissed off again. Because that's what happens.
No.
Yeah, the baby birds come out and then they start pooping. And then you're going to be like, fuck this bird.
It's not like the mama bird puts diapers on them.
They should.
That's not how it works.
They should have been like, become advanced.
But in bird world, that's not how it works.
Make little straw diapers for their birds.
Little baby diapers.
Yeah.
That'd
be cute.
That would be so adorable. But I don't see it happening.
But I kind of, that kind of made me happy. So I'm like, okay, maybe things are just going to slow down a little bit now. because I don't think I've had a run like that in a while where just every day something ridiculous happens. However, it could just be this idea where you're magnifying dumb shit. And it may just be...
Oh, you can ask Amber. I was not magnifying dumb
shit. No.
Like, my life
that was unusual.
A literal fucking train wreck for a good solid week.
Well, that's how I felt.
Just, like, hammered shit. That's...
Yeah.
There's no other words to describe it. It was complete fucking hammered shit.
You know, but the thing is... yeah, that sucks. I mean, I agree. That sucks. No, it sucks.
That's
I agree.
Like I was going somewhere and I don't even remember.
No, it sucks. The thing that with me, though, at least now, is the weather really is... I find the older I get now, the more dependent my mood is on the weather. I know, Amber, you've been like this for years. And it isn't because I can't drive or something like that. I just really kind of get bummed out when the sun isn't out nowadays. I don't know why.
I get bummed out when winter hits. I don't like it.
Yeah. Looking at gray skies, which leafless we live trees. In Michigan, so you're looking at naked trees and gray skies for 6 months out of the year at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's depressing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I will say, living on the east side of the state versus the west side, the east side at least gets more sun, and it's warmer here in the winter. Like, and way less snow. If you live on Lake Michigan, anybody that's out there that lived or lives on Lake Michigan, you know how hammered you get by lake effect snow. And it sucks. It is depressing.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. It's the worst. You question your existence every day.
Yeah.
It is nice getting out again. I mean, because we have a late summer that's been coming in.
Yeah, it has taken a long time.
You know, not hot weather, just tolerable weather.
Right. Short weather.
You know, where things are finally in like the last week and a half, they're turning green now finally.
Yeah, and then in 2 months they'll fall off again.
Yeah.
Where you can go outside and not be cold. Like,
yeah, I'm trying.
The air isn't hurting my face.
I'm trying to spin up a positive thing here, and you just keep shitting all over
it. I can't help it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll stop.
I'm not talking to you, Bonnie. Oh. I'm talking to Amber. No, it's nice to get out and just, like, you know, get on the bicycle and not have to bundle up.
Yes.
You know, and
definitely.
Come home frozen. And you know, that's helping, you know, because this stuff really, you know, yeah, you go through a run like
that. It does drastically change your mood.
Yeah, you go through a run like, it sounds like both me and Bonnie have been through. You need some stress relief. And yeah, it's nice to kind of get out and just see the weather nice and just feel some warmth, you know, open the windows up in the house and all that good stuff. So that's kind of, I know, where at least me and Bonnie...
That's where our lives have been.
Train wreck of a life, yeah.
Smack dab in the shitter.
Yeah, yeah. But things are going to be getting better. We're going to be getting on the road here pretty soon, too.
Yes.
Which we have to get Troy on here.
Yes, we do.
And if you guys haven't... Hang on, I'm not...
It's the 22nd and 23rd, I believe.
Yeah, I'm dumb.
You can look, though. But I think it's the 22nd and 23rd.
We should get Troy on the podcast before...
We're going to. Yeah. We're going to.
The plan. Scott and I discussed it while you weren't here.
Yeah, I'm going to reach. I'm going to reach out to Troy this week, and you know, and see what his schedule's like. Because we've already talked, and he said, "Yeah, let's do it." Let me look at the calendar, and I just got to follow back up with him. So I'll do that this week.
We need to like twist his arm and make him come out here.
I know that would be awesome.
Well, he talked about that.
He's threatened it.
In studio.
Oh my God! Bring his
He talked about that. He talked about doing that. Yeah.
The good
Which
stuff
would be fun.
Right there.
It'd be interesting to have Troy Taylor in my house.
Yes, it would be a lot of fun. We'll get a nice bottle of Jameson.
I was going to say there wouldn't be one sober person in the house that night either.
He'd have to spend
the
night.
I'd have to be
that's
like,
a fucker
okay,
who can drink.
I got to sleep on the couch tonight. It's got to happen.
He'd have to spend the night.
Yeah, Amber, you and I are cuddling.
Or
that's just how it's going
to
go.
Or at least Uber over to a hotel.
No, so we're going to be talking to him real soon. We got a list of things. We kind of just have to get to it as far as getting people over here, getting people on the show. I still got to reach out to those people from the Whitney.
Oh, yeah.
We've kind of had a discourse.
Yeah.
And I got to call them because I really want to hook up with those guys. They're really cool.
I don't think we said that on the podcast, but we had some local ghost hunters from a group reach out, and they think they listen to the show or have listened to a podcast or two.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're like old school listeners or recently listened, but... There's a place in downtown Detroit on Woodward called the Whitney, and it was this glorious old mansion made out of like solid granite. That's one of these few mansions on Woodward that hadn't been torn down for progress. And so it's now a restaurant. When you go into it, it's hard to believe it was someone's home. And they are the official ghost hunters of the Whitney. So they get to do ghost hunting in it for whatever reason, whenever. I don't know the protocol for what they do, but they kind of suggested being on the show or doing something.
Yeah. So no, Scott, we're gonna do that.
Kind of reached out and thought, well, wouldn't it be cool to kind of go over to the Whitney and maybe we'll have a
powwow with them.
Yeah, do some kind of good old fashioned ghost hunting at the Whitney.
Could we invite Bonnie for this? That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. And
last time we were at the Whitney, it was with some of your coworkers.
Yeah, I went with my coworkers and we went to the, because they literally have a ghost bar.
Ugh.
Upstairs is called the Ghost Bar, and it's this beautiful space, like with this glorious, huge, wooden, beautiful, awesome bar.
And it's a very economical bar because you only really need to get one martini. And you're like floating around that place. You become
Lyndon was floating, but
you become the spirit.
I could have had three. Dude. But anyway, they have all these ghost themed drinks and
stuff.
Yeah,
it's super fun. It's
really
super
cool.
Fun.
And then we happened to be leaving and we were admiring some of like the Tiffany windows, actual Tiffany.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then this little docent that was in there, because they'll do tours throughout the day. But this little cute old man like overhears us and says, I can give you a little tour even though we're done.
Oh, that's nice.
And so he starts taking us around and pointing out stuff. And then we kind of bring up the ghost. And he's like, oh. And he pulls out his iPhone, which is always like, I'm sorry. He's a senior citizen.
Right,
so I'm like, whoa, you know, okay, look out. And then he brings up a photo. Now, I can't stand paranormal photos.
Right.
People that say, look,
most
there's a ghost.
Most of them, I'm like, ugh.
Most of it's bullshit, bad photography, people trying to make something out of nothing. But he points out this figure in the room, explains the backstory, saying that there was no one there in that room at that time. And I was like, well, you know what? This is kind of convincing. Okay. You know, if you're not bullshitting and the people that took it weren't bullshit. Okay. And so anyway, we had a nice little tour but they do actually a ghost hunt / like 5-course dinner.
Oh, really?
Once a month. And so you go in there, I think, after the regular hours are closed and you get this big meal and it's fancy and elegant and then you go on a ghost tour.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
So I like places that embrace their haunted history.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm always frustrated with people that don't want to embrace that for whatever reason. I know sometimes it borders on religious purposes or the depending on the community you live in, but come on. It's just fun.
Yeah.
So,
the Whitney is fun too. So I'm going to probably reach out to that guy this week.
Yeah.
It's Mark. His name's Mark. Yeah. Super cool guy.
And I forget what the name of their ghost group is, but.
Well, they didn't tell me.
No, I sent you the website.
Did you?
Yes.
You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably sent it either in email or Messenger. I don't know, but whatever. They got a website.
She like totally sent it.
I totally sent it.
No. Haunt Investigators of Michigan.
Yeah, that's it.
H-I-M.
You don't have to spell
him.
It. Whoa, like the band?
Well, without the of. Him. Haunt Investigators of Michigan.
Okay.
So, I want to talk to them. They seem cool. We were saying before, too, in case you don't know or you haven't bought tickets for it yet, the Haunt America Conference is June 22nd and 23rd, 2018, Alton, Illinois. At the beautiful, at the atrium.
Yeah,
the
it's not a bad
atrium.
Hotel.
It's a great hotel. Well,
they renovated it.
The first a couple years ago. When
it was an exotic jungle of humidity.
Yeah, oh, well, from the pool. Yeah, but they've actually, you know, they're getting better and better every year because they went through a major change. And this last year, I thought was very pleasant. I had a great
good.
Time.
Oh, we ate every meal there. I mean, they actually have a decent restaurant.
The food's fantastic.
There.
The
pizza
really
was
good.
Shit.
Yeah, the pizza was really good. It was, and the rooms were fantastic. And so it's a very comfortable place to go to. And this is Troy Taylor we're talking about. Troy Taylor is the man. I don't really know what else to say.
Well, we've said it before. Like, we have gone to so many different events.
Yeah.
So we've, like, seen the entire spectrum of how to put on an event. Troy always puts on a top-notch event. Always.
Well, and the thing with the thing that really, to Troy's credit, and this may get a little harsh, but we have Well, it's a lot of why we're doing this show.
I'm just looking because I like Harsh. So. Yeah.
Well, it's a lot of why we're doing this show again, and we've been through all that. But Troy, to me, is really, you know, and I, over all these years, people have come and gone. People are still here, whatever. And there's a lot of people that really, I mean, I don't know any nice way to say it. I lost a lot of respect for him, right?
Yeah.
Troy Taylor is one of those people who truly, truly, truly does this for the love of it.
Right.
He started doing this because he was interested in it. And you know what? Troy does this for a living, okay?
For many
and
years.
I know plenty of people like, oh, yeah, well, you know what? This gentleman does.
Right.
Writes, researches, does his thing, right?
Right.
No one can work for free. But Troy is one of those people who truly, in my opinion, has transcended that whole bullshit idea. He is who he is. He's Troy Taylor. He does these events. He does all. He's always doing something. The guy's busy as hell. He has his stores or his store. Very busy guy. And my whole point is just that. Like, he's one of the, to me, I guess he's one of the truest people I've ever seen in this field. As far as
studying this stuff. Oh, yeah, definitely.
A true passion for this stuff.
He's never. You didn't really go negative with that, so I'll just say it. He's never whored himself out.
No, you're right.
Like, oh, we have to have this person because they were on five TV shows. Like, you actually learn shit at Troy's events. And it's only $50. Like, some of these goofy
he's
ass
always
events
kept it cheap.
That I
yeah,
see.
Yeah, and we talked about that last year, too, with him.
It's ridiculous. They'll have, like, one person that was on a paranormal TV show and then, like, 10 people you've never heard of, and they want to charge, like, $400 for a weekend. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I've seen some of these things get ridiculous, and that's one thing. I know we talked about this with Troy last year for the conference last year. He was like, yeah, we just keep the price down. You know, I don't really feel the need that I have to bulk this thing up and have to inflate the prices and make it impossible to come. I want people to come.
Right, exactly.
Right?
And that I admire the shit out of him for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and if you hire the TV people to come and speak, not to say that just because you're on TV doesn't mean you can't put on a an interesting presentation
and
entertain a crowd, but they tend to have a higher price tag. They'll need...
Well, yeah. And so... Understanding this,
the price of the... conference goes up.
And this is how things work when you have people do appearances. Yeah, they want their travel covered. They want their food covered. They want, of course, their hotel and lodging covered, right? And that's not cheap for some people. Some people are expensive. And that's why sometimes you see some of these conferences. I see plenty of them. There's lots of them going on.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, you get a $200, $300, $400 price tag to spend a weekend somewhere.
And yet, Troy still always puts us up in a room. As well as
which blows my mind.
And it's still only $50.
Yeah. That totally blows my mind. Troy's so nice to us, you know, as far as our show and our little conglomerate we have here. Troy's so wonderful to us.
And
I don't know any other way. He's just so
has
gracious
been from day one.
He's so gracious to us, and he treats us so well. And I'm just saying this stuff because this is from the inside out, right? We look forward to this every year now as Ghostly Talk and as people too, because Troy takes such he's just so good to us when it comes to this
stuff.
Oh
yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, for the little amount of work that we're expected to do for him, and you know the funny thing, Amber, you know we talked about this last year because we do every year this will be our third year doing it now is
right.
We more or less moderate the discussion panel on Friday night,
right?
That's what we've been doing. And Amber and I got to talking last year after this thing. It was great. We had a good time. It was fantastic. But Amber and I both were in the same headspace. We're like, you know, I feel kind of bad. Troy brings us out here, and we don't even prepare for this shit. We don't do any preparation whatsoever. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I feel kind of bad. Like, this guy's taking good care of us, and we really should do more for him. So I went to Troy about this and said, hey, Troy, let's talk about – this was like a couple months ago. Mm. Let's talk about this thing a little bit. And try to get in front of it. So we kind of have a plan. He's like, well, listen, dude. He's like, the fun of the discussion panel has always been the fact that it's off the hip.
Yep.
He's like, well, I don't want to prepare it. He's like, so let's just have fun. Let's just do what we've been doing. And I'm like, okay, well, all right. You know? So, you know, yeah, sometimes I feel like I don't do enough for the guy. But maybe we do more than we think we do. I don't know. But that just goes back
to
the point.
Or maybe he just really, really likes us.
Well, that's what Troy says too. He's like, I just want to see you guys. I'm like, well, why? But you know, it's great to go out there every year now, and I plan on doing that every, you know, if Troy will have us, we plan on going out there every year for the Haunted America Conference. And this year, it's a really great lineup. Sarah Chavez, Colin Dickey, Robert Damon Schneck, Sherry Brake, Jennifer Jones, April Slaughter. She's always fun to talk to.
Oh, yeah.
Rosemary Ellen Guiley, one of our old friends. Sarah Soderlund, Luke Laborski. That guy's fantastic. Always fun to talk to. Len Adams also. Us and the American Hauntings Podcast. That's you know,
it's our competition.
That's our comp. No, it's Troy. It's Troy. No, it's Troy's podcast.
I know.
Which we're gonna have to. Yeah, don't put us next to those people.
No, Troy's more of the storytelling type. I mean, they talk, but he does like
he does
the seasons, like season one, season two, and then they tell stories about the stuff he's written, and you know, and
yeah,
yeah.
So Troy Taylor,
it's not just babbling like idiots like us.
Lisa will be there, of course. Our dear, you know, Lisa's awesome. So, you know, you guys really, if you can make it out there and you can make the plans, you know, it's about a month, month and a half away now, June 22nd and 23rd, 2018, Alton, Illinois. I always say Illinois.
I noticed that.
Yeah, I do that. It's weird.
I was going to correct you, but then I
felt weird.
But I would have chewed your freaking head off.
And then instead you corrected yourself.
I do that. I've been doing that since I was younger. But come on out there. It'll be a lot of fun. We'd love to see you guys out there. And come talk to us. We'd love to hang out and chat with everybody.
Maybe.
It's a lot of fun.
Amber, maybe.
Yeah, it depends.
If you're a weirdo, I don't know.
We had that happen over... We did a show on road stories. But there was one, speaking of which, I don't know if we talked about that on the road stories show. And I'm going to omit any names here.
Okay,
good idea.
But there was one we had... It may have been one of the conferences in Kentucky.
Okay.
Who was a listener of Ghostly Talk. Nice guy. We always conversed, you know, virtually. And I don't have... it's a bit foggy now because those Kentucky conferences were always foggy. But this guy actually was kind of like just... I mean, I don't know any other nice way to say it. He was stalking. Which I don't get it. Like, who the fuck am I? Right?
Right.
But I don't know if Amber was saying that. He was wanting to, he's like, I want to have a meal. I want to eat with you.
Right.
And I'm like, well, you know, you're a nice guy. We can chat. We can, you know, converse.
We all go out to eat together. You're more than welcome to be at the same restaurant.
Well, yeah, but
he wanted a one-on-one.
It was a vibe.
Yeah.
It was a vibe he was giving off. Like, there was something weird about this dude.
Yeah.
And I can't really put my finger on it. And there's nothing snobby about this, but he kind of creeped me out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just some look in his face, and he was like, you know, I would sit there goofing around. You listen to the show, he was just sitting there staring at me. And I'm like, okay, there's something. And
maybe he had a serious man crush on you.
Yeah.
He was like, the beard, it's working.
I didn't have a beard like this
hair,
back then, though. I had that stupid, horrible chin strap thing for years, and I regret every day of that.
Oh, whatever.
This is a beard.
We all go through different phases.
What I have here is a real beard. And this feels good on my face, man. This is good. I like this. But this dude...
Scott's going to become a lumbersexual with that beard.
Lumbersexual. So,
yeah,
what I remember of this was...
I remember you telling me about that when it happened.
Yeah, like, finally, he just kept badgering me. Like, not badgering, but he would come to our table and be like, where's Scott?
Mm-hmm.
Like, a couple people said, they're like, yeah, this guy's been looking for you, dude. I'm like, what the fuck, man? I'm going back to the room and hiding and shit. and finally, I talked to him. I said, okay, dude, listen, man. Let's get breakfast tomorrow. With people.
Right.
Because I don't want to get carved up and fucking thrown in a trunk somewhere.
He's going to wear you as a skin suit. I am now
Scott L. Yeah, so the funny thing was is that another one of our friends, and I don't want to mention anybody's name in this thing. It's kind of weird. I said, hey, dude, you got to come with me, man. I'm actually kind of scared of this thing. I'm a little nervous about this. Can you just come with me when I go to breakfast with this guy?
Mm.
He's like, yeah, sure, man. And this particular person didn't really have much of a filter. I mean, like, really bad, like, no filter at all. Mm-hmm. Like, he just would ever say whatever was on his mind.
Yep.
Who I was bringing with me. And he literally walks up to the table. I got there first, and I was waiting for him to show up. And then this other guy shows up, the stalker dude shows up and sits down. And I'm like, hey, good morning. Hi. Literally, it was just deadpan. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to fucking die. I'm not going to make it out of this meal, man. And here comes the other, my friend, sits down and says, hey, so where's your stalker at? Is he here yet? Like, talking out loud. I'm like, and the guy's sitting right there. He didn't, I don't think he really meant to do that, but he just didn't give a shit. And I'm like, oh, God, oh, God.
I love it.
And the guy is like, who's your stalker? I'm like, I just crazy. I don't know. I don't know. So we had a very awkward breakfast together.
Uh-huh.
Where this my friend was just kind of like just sticking him now, knowing who he was. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. He's going to stab both of us right here under the table in our legs or something. Shut up, dude. It was just one of those weird things. So going back to Amber's point, yeah, every once in a while, we've bumped into people where they just kind of scare us. You know.
To me, it was like when people came up and they're like, oh, we listen to the show. It's great. Love it. Blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah, thanks,
that
cool.
That was always awesome.
Yeah, totally.
It was the people that acted like we were somebody that always creeped me
that.
Out.
Stop that. Yeah, cut it out.
Because like
stop that.
Amber and I were at Mothman Festival. You and Doug were off being ghostly talk rock stars somewhere. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, right.
Amber and I were manning.
We're moving equipment around for the
Amber
fucking Frick
and
Brothers.
Were,
and fuck those guys,
we're
by the
manning
way, too. Whatever.
The ghostly talk table, right?
Yeah.
So this couple walks up to the table and the guy's like, oh, she wants a t-shirt. The only words that came out of my mouth were, okay, what size? And she like slammed her hand down on the table and she goes, oh my God, you're Bonnie. And I like started backing up. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I am. What size shirt do you need? And Amber's just like, okay. I mean, she was really nice. It was just the way she did it. I was like, oh shit.
No, that's cool. I like that. Glad people still listen to the show. And but yeah, we've had a few of those over the years where it got kind of weird, man.
Yeah.
We had some scary people. I'm like, dude, okay.
Whatever. We love you all. Weirdos.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I don't like people that creep me out. They can fuck off. They can leave me alone.
Okay, creepy people, come
don't
see me.
Don't bother me, man.
It'll be okay.
We're not doing this thing, so.
I'll hug you and say hi.
But anyway, come out to the conference. It'll be fun. I promise we're not that bad.
But we are.
We are.
It's okay, though. We're
sort of the drunks. That's the thing. Everybody, honestly, as we've aged.
That's why we have so many friends.
I know, but as we've aged. People have stopped drinking. They go up and responsibly go back to their room. They're like, I'm older now and I can't handle drinking and I'm going to feel like shit. And we're like, yeah, we're going to be at the hotel bar. And then I'm sort of like halfway through questioning, I'm going to feel like shit. That's the one thing I don't want to do that because I know we have to drive home. Friday night's fine because you can sleep it off. But like Sunday when you have to get up and you have to drive and like, ugh, no one wants to be hungover.
Yeah.
So, but, like, yeah, we're the people going to bed last.
That's, like, the first thing we do when we get there. Like, we get there and we unpack. And, like, our next thing on the agenda is to go to the bar.
I mean, but you, being Scott L., we almost always arrive at the hotel with a full bar in the car.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
So,
I brought a whiskey to my talk when I talked
yes,
when I
did.
Spoke last year.
Oh my God, I saw that. I was like, dude, that's punk rock. Look at her
I
go.
I brought a whiskey with me up there because I kind of wanted to call it. What did I want to say? I said something about like afternoon cock. What did I say?
Oh yeah, you were in the afternoon too. That's even
no,
better.
No, and I had a different name, and I seriously wanted to somehow try to get everybody to bring cocktails to my talk and like be a little buzzed up.
Oh, you're talking about morbid.
Morbid Tales and Cocktails. Because
my
presentation was called Morbid Tales.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to do. But I was the only one that brought a cocktail.
But you did it in style.
Yeah.
You could get sued for that, too. Tom Warrior from Celtic Frost could rip.
My God. I was not even referring to his band.
You're copping like one of the greatest like all-time metal records.
No.
So I like really want to hear what happened to Amber yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so well, I was saying earlier, we got this phone call. Well, this is like earlier this morning, basically. And Amber, you know what? I'm not even going to try to, I'm not even going to load this up for you. Why don't you just take the floor, Amber? We turn the mics off and you just riff.
Marnie and I were downtown. Marnie's been on the show before, if you haven't ever heard of Marnie.
Yeah, she was on a couple months
ago. One of our good friends. And we're downtown, Grand Haven, and there's four proms going on.
Oh, my.
Four proms. You have a busy seaside town on Lake Michigan there. So, I mean, it's packed. It's warm weather. It's after prom. So the kids are out till 4 a.m. There's certain locations open till 4 a.m. for the kids to go to.
Mm.
One of them being this little putt-putt course that's right where me and Marnie like to hang out at night. And then we have Cinco de Mayo. So we have all the restaurants having bands and all this stuff. Then we have the Derby. So women are out with their hats and everything.
Naturally.
So you have all these weird events going on at the same time. Prom dresses, Derby hats, and Cinco de Mayo. So anyway, we end up going out to our spot where we just sit there and talk. And I think about 12:45, kids are still happily playing putt-putt. Cops are cruising around watching them. We start getting on this heated discussion about UFOs and aliens.
Now, where are you at again, exactly?
We're down on, essentially, we're at the mouth of the Grand River, which dumps into Lake Michigan.
Is it in relation to the bridge? Where is it at?
To the west of it. You've been by the train. You know where the train is.
Oh, the train. Okay, yeah. All right.
So, anyway, we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, Marnie looks up and says, oh, look, someone's got a drone going. And so I look up, and I'm like, oh, that makes sense, a drone. Okay, maybe they're taking a picture of the pup, you know, the high school, the prommers, whatever, doing putt-putt. And then it gets closer, and we start looking at it. It's too high to be a drone, and it starts morphing. The shape, like, we described it as an amoeba, and it starts to kind of morph in shape with these reddish lights in it that went from, like, a darker red to a lighter red, with maybe there's some blue or green in there. I don't know. And Marnie's going, wait, what? And we both, like, we're like, that's not a drone. What? Okay, what? No one sees it. No one.
Naturally.
We're the two old people sitting on top of a hill smoking cigarettes and talking at 1 o'clock in the morning while the high schoolers are out. And I'm like, we have a minute probably that we're staring at this thing. Of course, where's my cell phone? It's in Marnie's car. She pulls out her cell phone. She can't get a picture of it. There's no way. And all of a sudden, this thing, because I'm like, is it a Chinese lantern? And we're like, no, Chinese lanterns don't do that. That's not a Chinese lantern. They just kind of have the trajectory. You know what a Chinese lantern looks like.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it just sort of goes northwest and takes off. I mean, it didn't accelerate, but it was moving at a good clip. And then at some point, we kept following it where it just appeared to be a pinpoint, like a star. And then we're both watching it, and I'm going, I don't know if my eyes are playing tricks on me, because when you stare at stars, they twinkle and they seem to move.
Right.
But at the same time, we're both going, did you just see two lights come out of that? I'm like, yes. And we're seeing what looks like, at times, three pinpoints of light coming out of this multiple times and moving around. And of course, she's going, oh my God, I got to call Bill. We got to tell Bill, like, from Michigan MUFON. And we stared at it for a good 40 minutes. We stayed out there at almost 2 a.m. just waiting, like, please come back. What was that? We described it as an amoeba. So when I got home, I started looking up amoeba UFO, like anything. And then there were some other people that had something similar. Like, there was a YouTube video of something in California where they described it as an organic UFO.
Okay, yeah.
And I sent it to Marnie, and she's like, oh, that's kind of similar. So we're going to be on the search. But yeah, now the weird, eerie part is when Scott, Tom, and I saw our crazy UFO zipping around in the sky. This thing was not zipping around and doing crazy bilocation moves. It was steady, but it was the same exact spot.
Really?
Same exact spot.
I got to come with you one of these times.
So Marnie goes, that's it. We're bringing a UFO kit whenever we're out there. So, because we're like, if we would have binoculars, a telescope, night vision scope, which he has, like, we could have just maybe seen something closer, a little more detail. We just sat there dumbfounded. Like, what the, and then, of course, like I said, the cops are driving by, and we're just waiting for them to come up and be like, what are you people doing out here? You're not prom people.
Right.
We just saw a UFO. Okay, step over here, miss. You guys coming from one of the Cinco de Mayo bars there? Like, no, we had two whiskeys like 3 hours ago. We're fine. So I don't know what the hell we saw. I consider it my second UFO sighting. We were dumbfounded. And it wasn't as shocking as maybe the first one we saw, because the first one was longer,
right,
and did more aggressive maneuvers in the sky. This thing was more of like this jellyfish in the sky. It was not a drone.
You don't think it was a drone or
anything? No. Because then if it was a drone, someone lost their drone. And I don't know if anybody has like drones that change shape in the sky. So, and they can't go that high.
A flying
jellyfish.
This thing
took off.
A flying
jellyfish. It didn't accelerate, but it just went whoom. And we couldn't figure out necessarily how close it was to us, because before we knew it, it seemed like it was a star in the sky.
Right.
So was this thing actually really large and farther away? No idea. I don't know what we saw, but we're going to make a MUFON report. Who knows if someone else happened to see it? We don't know what direction it came from, if it just materialized or if it actually happened to be traveling towards us and then, you know, coming south and then going northwest. No idea.
Right.
So I don't know. Flipping weird. And of course, we're the only two out there that are looking up and seeing it.
Oh, naturally.
With no equipment to record anything whatsoever, because nope. So now we're just going to sit out there like a couple of weirdos every time we talk, and we're just going to have gear. And she's got a full-on telescope, too. So she's like, I don't know, we could just set it up and tell people we're stargazing. It's kind of a semi-crappy place to stargaze, because it's not like, ooh. I mean, there's kind of some light pollution over there. So when I got home, my mom's house is like, there's really not a lot of light pollution, so you see all kinds of stars.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to look up. So I'm looking up, and then I hear something rustle in the woods, and I'm like, ah! And I ran inside. I'm like, a fucking gray is going to pop out and be like, I tried to get you at the train. Now I'm coming for you now, bitch. And I'm like, no, I'm going inside and locking the door. Because that's what's going to happen to me. That's my luck. Finally going to get abducted. They tried in 2008. Now they're coming back in 2018. 10 years. It's been 10 years, so they're coming back.
Oh, my God. I love you. I love your alien voice.
Well, that's what the grays sound like.
I love everything about that story. Everything.
What I find interesting is, and like you already pointed this out, this is in the same spot we saw our thing. That was in 2006
Mm-mm.
or 2008.
No, I think it was 2008. It was either 7 or 8.
It's written down.
10 years.
It's written down.
And the literally was in the same location. Also where I had my weird, creepy alien dream of seeing all the grays bobbing in the Grand River was that exact location. They're coming for me. They want me back home.
I'm just curious to what the hell's going on in that one area.
I don't know. But
we have no answers here.
Apparently that's where Amber was born. So every time she goes there,
they're coming back.
Try and get her back.
Well, we forgot that one on the planet back in 1980. So we got to get her back. Got to get her, coax her back somehow.
Are you guys going to put a report in for this, I assume?
No, we're going to put in a report. For sure, and she's going to contact Bill and just be like, so, amorphous type amoeba-like organic floating thing in sky. Bill, what do you think? Because if he says, okay, wait, I got other reports describing the same thing, okay.
We had other reports the same night we saw that thing back in 2008.
No, some people, I was just going to say, some reports trickled in after.
Yeah.
Where some people claim to kind of see something similar. And then I've just, in general, when I've researched sightings along Lake Michigan back in 1993 or 4, there was a huge rash of sightings going from South Haven up the coast, and they were all very similar. People seeing lights just zipping and doing crazy maneuvers that don't seem like anything that is in current aviation technology with the government. And then I'm like, okay, government, what little devices was this?
Exactly.
Amoeba plane? What is this? So this one, though, was too weird. And like I said, I have no idea about the size of it. It could have been the size of a football field for all I know.
Right.
Because we felt like it must have been sort of high up there for how quickly it seemed to just turn into a star.
Right.
No idea. But something was up there. And then the fact that we were seeing something from far away still produce these offshoots of light and things moving. And we kept second-guessing ourselves because that's what we do.
Naturally.
But our eyes were both seeing the same things happening, even at those pinpoints of light.
Right.
And then it stopped. We both of us were not seeing anything. It was just a little pinpoint. She did pull out her phone and do like the Google sky map to see. I'm like, okay, see if that's a star. What is that? You know, and it was like basically southeast of the Big Dipper.
Okay.
So in that vicinity of the sky. So I don't know. Flipping weird.
They are coming for you, Amber.
Most likely.
They want to take you back home.
Most likely. I don't want to go back home.
It'll probably, you know.
Unless it's a cool planet.
You know when it's going to happen. You and Scott are finally going to set a fucking date. And the night before your wedding, you're going to get abducted.
They're going to take me back.
Yep. They're going to take you home.
They're going to, they have me already set up to hook up with another alien, like a prearranged marriage.
Yes.
See, I'm going to be an alien princess.
Yes. That's exactly what it is.
I'm supposed to marry Prince.
Your prince is exceptionally sad right now.
Yeah.
Because they lost you on Earth.
Yep.
And they've only caught sight of you twice so far.
Well, and speaking of Marnie, the other story. So we always hear, when we share ghost stories, we talk about stories that have happened 100 years ago, 200 mm-hmm. years ago, and some horrible event happened there, or even 30, 40 years ago. And some tragic event happened that created a ghost.
Right.
And left a haunting behind. And when you are witness to what I would say could be a future haunting, or at least stories being generated.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Marnie, a few weeks ago, we're downtown and Grand Haven, and she takes off at about 10 o'clock at night, and she drives back to Muskegon, where she lives, which is north. And 30 minutes goes by, and she is texting me saying, Amber, you're not going to believe what's going on right now. I pulled up into my neighborhood, and there were state police everywhere. And she's like, oh, my God. Like, what's going on? She pulls into her driveway. She's got a cake because it's her son's birthday the next day. So she just opens up her hatch and pulls out a birthday cake, turns around because she hears, ma'am, excuse me, turns around, and there's an officer there holding an automatic rifle. And she's like, holding the birthday cake.
Do you want a slice? I'll cut it right now for you.
Yeah. And so then he's like, do you know your neighbors? And she's like, no, not really. She always considered the guy to be kind of a dick and never talked to his wife because she never cared for the husband.
Mm.
They had lived there for about a year and a half. And he's like, we need you and anybody that's in your house or coming to visit to be in your basement with the doors locked.
So, which in and of itself is creepy.
So what's going through your head right now? Like, seriously, what the hell? Why do I have to go and lock the doors in my house?
Right.
And what are the
obviously,
neighbors doing?
Obviously, there's a serial killer on the loose in my neighborhood.
So she goes downstairs. They lock the doors, her and her husband. They go into the basement. And she starts getting online. She's searching stuff. Like, maybe there's a news article, whatever.
Naturally, that's what anyone would do.
And on MLive, mm-hmm. which is a big Michigan news site, she finds an article that in downtown Muskegon, some dude came out of a brewery and shot a woman and a man sitting in a car. And so she sends it to me, and she's like, I think this has something to do with it. She's like, I don't know yet, but I think this has something to do with it. So she keeps sending me updates because everyone's freaking out. Like, oh, my God, Marty's in lockdown in her house.
Right.
The police and what the hell. So not 10 minutes goes by when they're in lockdown in the basement when she hears a gunshot in the woods. And John, her husband, is a gun guy. He goes shooting for competitions and all that kind of stuff. So he's like, that wasn't the AR. He's like, that was a handgun. And she goes, oh, the guy, someone killed themselves. Said it right away. John's like, well, how do you know? She's like, no, that's what happened. Someone just shot themselves.
Right.
So after everything's said and done, they're on lockdown for about an hour and a half in the basement. They finally get to come out. Cop shows up, knocks on the door, says, okay, everything's fine. And of course, they're not telling him anything.
Oh,
they're
naturally.
They're just like, yeah, whatever. We just came out here for a routine, whatever. You guys can go to bed now. So she finds out, like, all the articles, like, unfold the next day. This guy had been going through a divorce, but he had no history of known mental illness that, you know, the police knew about. There was no spousal abuse. They had two small children, 6 and 8. And he got a tip off from someone at the bar that his wife had just walked out the door and got into a car with another man. And he showed up at the bar and they were sitting in the car talking and he just shot them both in the head. Now, the wife was killed instantly.
Right.
And the other guy who was only 28, she was like, I think 29. He made it through the night and died the next morning. So he went back home.
Because that's what you do.
That's what you do. And then his kids were in bed.
Well, his life was over. He knew his life was over after that moment.
Okay, yeah. But on the same token, like, you don't have to orphan your kids in the same day. Like,
no.
Well, I think when something snaps in somebody like that, they don't think about the future.
And honestly, I'm actually surprised he did it himself and didn't let them suicide by cop. I know. And that's what most of them do.
So, yeah. And then they, I mean, what's eerie now is, of course, the house is vacant.
Right.
Marnie did see two twin beds get carried out of there. So the kids' stuff is getting pulled out of there because obviously there's going to be some kind of custody issue with mm-hmm. who takes care of the kids now, what family.
Naturally.
And then she heard coyotes out there prowling around not long after because you got to wonder what kind of bodily
blood
and pieces and things that right. the animals are smelling.
They can clean up the majority of it, but yeah, there's going to be stuff missed.
So she was just like, oh, that's great. Coyotes are out there. And then she has this nice wooded background, like backyard, and it's always we have fires. And now I'm sitting there thinking, every time I'm going to be out in your backyard, I'm literally going to look in the backyard over mm-hmm. over by that house and go, he's out there. Like, and then it's like that's how ghost stories start.
Exactly.
So it's like I'm witnessing the beginning of a ghost story because if people remember it and they talk about it and they know the area.
It will be the haunted woods oh, behind yeah. Marnie's house.
If kids, you know, whoever moves into that house next, because these are new homes. It's not like they're going to bulldoze it and tear it down or something. Right. Someone will move in there. If they know the history, let's say they have some teenage kids, they're going to start saying, you know what happened in our
right.
backyard?
Right.
A man killed himself. I mean, it's going to grow and snowball and be weird. And
exactly. And someone will buy the house because it's not like anyone died in
no,
the
no,
house.
No, nothing happened in the house.
No, and they were living together, like, they were still, even though they were going through a divorce, they were still cohabitating.
Right, and that happens a lot, probably a lot more than people realize.
But of course, now it's like she was like successful, like teaching classes and pretty. And it's like, I mean, it's a total Dateline story.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, but it's just, that's the kind of thing you don't expect to happen. That's the stuff you hear about on watching true crime shows.
Exactly. And you're like, oh, my God,
forensic
that would
files.
Be so weird.
And then it's happening live while my friend's texting me, you know, trapped in her basement, hearing gunshots outside and right. her nice little cul-de-sac. Then MLive had to say, like, the 1100 block of Ricky Drive. That's her address.
Well,
that's
you just
not
told
their
everyone
address.
That
well,
listens.
It's out there. It's out there. But it wasn't her house. So now people are driving by, though.
Oh, yeah.
And they're looking.
Because there's going to
as
be.
As if, like, the guy's just going to come like a zombie out of the woods.
It's
like,
just like an accident
what, you
think on
actual
the highway.
Paranormal people are going by
no,
there already?
No, no, just,
oh, no.
No, just
more of a spectators.
Just more of a curiosity.
Like rubbernecking on the
where
freeway when there's an accident.
Yeah. Like, yeah, well, yeah, they're just rubbernecking.
People love to watch.
Rubbernecking.
So,
out of morbid curiosity.
Really sad, but then, of course, being paranormal people, we were like, wow, that's the birth of a ghost story. Right there.
Yep.
And we'll remember it.
Forever.
We'll always talk about it. And she did feel some ick. She said afterwards her animals were acting really weird. She has a dog and a cat. They were just sort of unusually quiet, timid. Her dog was kind of going to the window and whimpering. She was like, that's not cool, because she was home alone, like, shortly after that, like,
well, that probably just
you know,
created, like, an entire
oh,
change
it's weird.
In the atmosphere.
And so she's like, and she was pissed. She was like, first off, I didn't like the guy. He was an asshole. And second, now he went and did this in my peaceful backyard. She was like, you know, was like, screw you. Like, ah. But, but I feel bad for the kids. That just sucks. You lost mom and dad that night. You're that young.
How old was the dude?
30, 31.
They must have both been successful.
I think she had the better job. That's what Marnie said. And who knows how much debt they had.
I need more dirt on this.
He drove
See?
Around. He
Morbid
drove around.
Curiosity.
He drove around on snowmobiles. She almost like careened into him, like turning down the road one winter day. And he had like motorcycles and all this stuff. And she just for some reason had the assumption that his wife still had the better job. So when all their assets get divided up and everything, too, I don't know how much it's going to have to go off to pay off their debt and different
right.
things they had and what are the kids going to be left with. Although she said something to me this weekend that the kids will collect on the Social Security or whoever inherits them
yep.
or inherits, but, you know, takes on the kids.
Gets custody.
Yeah. We'll
is
get
the
social
phrasing.
Yeah, custody. Thank you. We'll get, I guess, the Social Security.
Whoever takes on the burden of these two little fucking brats.
Inherited. Hey, not all kids are fucking brats.
I'm kidding.
Brats,
I'm just kidding.
So,
calm
know.
Down.
Sorry, Amber and I decided to take a drink at the exact
right?
same moment there.
So, I don't know. It was, but that's a wild story.
That is not, you were telling it to me when I was here, and I was like, shut up.
I know. It's not the shit you expect to be happening.
That kind of stuff don't, that doesn't happen.
Well, you know, it makes me think, too, you know, we're seeing that, and I, you know, I do blame social media and our how our news works now.
Instant access.
Yeah. But we're hearing a lot more. Like, just recently, we talked about that one, Amber, like, where we live here in Michigan, our city, there was some guy who barricaded himself in his house.
Yeah, down the road. And it was a domestic issue, which for some reason comforts me more, because it's not like some lunatic that's just shooting random people.
Right.
But still, down the road, there's some dude that they had barricaded in for, like, almost 24 hours.
Even the story you just told, technically a domestic issue.
It is, yeah. And then it could potentially affect neighbors.
The thing I see over and over again, you hear about somebody losing their shit, and they go somewhere and just randomly shoot up someplace.
Right, right.
And I never, like, you know, and I guess that's, you know, I'm not in their mind, and I don't understand what they're going through. But, you know, like, you know, we had, my neighbor and I were talking Friday night, and we were talking about a shooting that happened at Chrysler here a few years ago, and there was a love triangle going on. One guy just got so pissed off one day that he came in there and shot.
Was that Chrysler or GM?
No, it was at Chrysler. Oh. There's shit that happens at all the companies. This is one just a couple of years ago, though. And the guy just came to work with a shotgun and shot the dude and the girl in this love triangle thing. And he turned around and walked out. He didn't hurt anybody else. Now, that he should have done. I'm not condoning
that, even though it's tragic in and of itself.
I'm not condoning
that. He kept
that.
It to the parties involved in the dispute.
You know, which, you know, totally wrong.
Which should be more comforting, but oddly it is.
It is more comforting because, like, that guy had no intention to hurt anybody who was innocent in this thing. They had nothing to do with it. But what really does scare me are these people who are wronged, or they feel they're wronged, and they just go and they go to a fucking Denny's or something, you know, and just start randomly shooting people. And that's what keeps me up at night, because it's like, well, anywhere I go, I'm a goddamn target now, right? And that does scare me, which then that leads us into our whole gun conversation, and I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, no.
So I don't want to get that political.
We're not going there.
We got dark enough
show.
Already.
We're not a political show.
Yeah, we got dark enough already. But yeah, that stuff that really... Now, the situation, though, like we just said, the one you were talking about, Amber, he kept that isolated. He kept it isolated.
Well, he did
shoot. There was an innocent person in that, though,
well,
too.
Well, two innocent people, because no one deserved it.
Well, no one deserved it, especially the dude, like the other guy.
And there was I haven't been following every single article, and I don't know how much they're going to put out there, but no one even knew if that was like they were dating. They could have just been two people that knew each other talking in the car.
Yeah,
right.
Bullshit.
And he was like,
not with my
wife.
It could have been like, I'm having a shit day. Scott, let's go have a drink. I need to fucking talk and unwind. And then now you're dead because you're sitting in a car talking to me.
And Marnie's son, he knew him. Like, he remembers him from school. So it's like, duh.
Wow.
And he was a nice guy.
It's messed up.
They're all the nice guys.
It's totally messed up.
Yeah, all the nice guys are
taken,
huh? All the nice guys are taken. Yeah, that sounds great. That was a nice guy?
No. The guy that was in the car with
her. Oh, the guy that was in the car. I thought you were talking about the husband.
No, not the husband. The gentleman that was murdered.
Yeah.
Nice. Kyle or Kurt had said he was a super nice kid.
And it's always sad when they're so young and shit, like, especially with kids involved.
Yep.
Well, that's a sad story. Thanks, Amber. We appreciate you bringing
it to the table. Brought us down.
Sorry, but it's just in a bizarre way. Like I said, it's like the birth of how stories start.
Oh,
no,
absolutely.
That's an interesting idea. Now, what you're talking on, that's actually an interesting idea. Like,
and someone, okay, so you forget about it. People that subsequent families that move into that home for the next 20, 30 years, maybe it gets forgotten. And then some little plucky ghost hunter, because there's a resurgence again in 30 years of the paranormal, is like, I'm going to research and do local history. And they find this story and go, oh my God. And maybe there was weird things happening in the house.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they connect this guy killing himself and behind the house with the strange things happening in the house.
Exactly.
And then in 30 years, 40 years from now, when someone writes a new book about ghost stories of Muskegon or West Michigan, and that story's in there. You know, it's the beginning of it.
Exactly. So, absolutely.
I think we should bring things up a little bit here.
Okay, go for it.
I was doing some goofing around here, and I know you guys are familiar with the Borley Rectory.
Yes.
One of the first ghost stories I ever read. Well, the Higgy Pop, the site, it's a news site, paranormal, around paranormal news. They got these really cool quizzes they do.
Okay. We're going to get a quiz?
And we're going to take a quiz? I think we should take this quiz.
Yeah, it seems quiz.
All right, so.
Let's take it.
Okay.
So, and you guys can see the screen.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. So which famed paranormal researcher investigated the Enfield poltergeist? Enfield poltergeist. Sorry, Enfield. Okay.
Bonnie wants to say it at the same time.
I'm just giving you my choice right here.
All right, go ahead.
Hold it
up. You're saying that?
Well, we got three choices here. So, Amber, what's your choice? Just look at the damn screen and tell me.
No, we're telling you with our fingers.
Oh, I didn't get... Oh, wow. Okay, so you're saying...
If you start at the top,
Amber says,
it's one.
Amber says Harry Price, and Bonnie says Maurice Gross.
Yep.
So which one should we go with here?
I don't care.
Okay, let's go Harry Price. Oh!
Good job, Amber.
Thank you. Harry Price.
Question two. We really need a music bed for this, I think.
Seriously?
Yeah, I think we do. Let's see here.
What?
Hang on. I think we need a music bed for this.
Do you want me to just sing in the background?
He's bringing me down.
The very thought of you. And I forget.
Dramatic music. Bed.
The little ordinary things that anyone ought to do.
Where the hell is the violin?
Scott, you're taking too long.
I'm trying to find a good music bed for this.
Oh, my God.
How about we just take the quiz?
Let's
take the quiz.
We're going to.
He's trying to find weird background music now.
Okay, how about this?
Okay,
all
fine.
Right, yeah,
fine.
That'll
fine,
work.
That's intense. Fine.
Amber and I are okay, just like,
fine.
Let's get it over with.
It's good.
All right, here we go.
All right, round two.
Round two. Question two.
Fight.
In what year was the rectory built, the Borley Rectory? What year? Amber?
I have no clue. So I'm completely guessing.
I'm going to go with this one, which I knew I was right.
Fuck.
Too. 1862.
I was wrong.
That was my guess.
1862.
Okay.
I'll turn this down a little bit more.
Scott, you need to up more. That's too low. There you go.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's totally dramatic.
In which English cunt...
Oh, my God.
County did Borley Rectory stand?
Jeez,
I'm really... I'm tired. I've had a long weekend.
All right. What's your... I'm guessing.
Essex.
Because I have no idea.
Okay, so the answers are Sussex, Kent, and Essex.
Yeah.
Okay, I go with one.
Bonnie, let's go with Bonnie here on this one because we wanted to do it last time.
Damn
oh,
it.
I was right.
Oh,
I was right.
I'm sucking on this.
Oh, we were both right.
I'm
were right,
sucking Bonnie. On this. Way to go, Amber.
Number four. Which British newspaper broke the story of the haunting?
Daily Mail, The Sun, or Daily Mirror?
It's a total guess.
All right. Oh!
I went with Daily Mail. What is it?
Does it not tell you?
It don't tell you.
Oh, that's...
Well, click on something else.
Bullshit.
Ah, whatever.
I did. It don't work.
Okay, well,
right,
it's either
the
Sun or
one.
The Daily Mirror. All right, keep going. Keep going. This is getting intense. Keep going.
In a famous photo taken while the house was being demolished, what is seen floating midair?
Crap. I suck at this. I thought I knew more.
I'm completely guessing every time. I'm just guessing.
Okay, we'll go with a hammer.
No.
Okay, you want to go with a brick?
Yeah.
It's either a key, a brick, or a hammer.
Go.
Ah! Good job,
I got
Amber.
One.
Oh, a brick.
A mysterious floating brick.
A mysterious floating brick. In what year was Borley Rectory demolished after being damaged by fire? Yeah.
1964, 1944, or 1984?
That was 44.
I'm going with 1944. Yeah!
Fire. 1944, ladies and gentlemen.
Paranormal trivia.
A young girl called Marianne Foister.
Marianne.
I said Marianne.
You said Marianne.
Marianne Foister saw what appeared on... some of the grammar here sucks.
Saw what appeared on a wall in the house.
Yeah.
Blood, excrement, writing.
I just want to say excrement because it's fucking funny.
Ew, no.
I'll go with three. Blood, excrement, or writing.
Okay. Let's go with writing. Excrement, that's just gross.
It's not poop. I know it's not poop.
It's gotta be writing.
I know it's not poop.
Oh!
Hey! I thought it was blood.
Who gave the rectory the title of the most haunted house in England?
I'm going with Harry Price, too.
Yeah, let's just
That's a safe one.
Let's do
either
it.
Either Vernon Wall, journalist. Who's a journalist? Harry Price, paranormal investigator.
It's either the Reverend or Harry Price.
I'm willing to bet. Let's put it on Harry Price.
I think it's Harry Price. Yeah! Woo!
While cleaning out a cupboard, a former resident of the property came across a brown paper package that contained what? A skull? Some bones? Or a glass eye?
Skull. A skull. One.
I want some bones.
Whatever. I'm going with the skull. That's my decision.
I say some bones.
Two against one. We're going with some bones.
Okay.
Oh!
No! We don't know what it was. I don't like how they don't tell
us
that.
We'll come back to it after the show.
The first ghostly apparition spotted was seen at twilight. But what did the spirit appear to be of? A nun, a headless houseman, or a monk?
Yeah, definitely one.
None. Yes.
I think we all guessed that one.
According to a Ouija board session conducted at the house, what was said to have happened to this apparition in particular?
Okay, it was either thrown down a well, hung from a tree, or drowned in a lake.
Yeah.
Shit.
I'm just going with hung from a tree.
I'm going to say one. I'm going to say thrown down a well.
We'll go with Amber on this one.
No! Yes. Okay, 12.
Which of these supernatural phenomenon was not experienced in the rectory?
Stones being thrown?
Two.
Water
two.
Turning black? Two. Or bells ringing?
Two.
I say two as
two.
Well.
Two.
Water turning black.
Go!
Yo! Yes, we're on fire.
Correct. What started the fire that destroyed the house in 1939?
Hey, I thought they said 44.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, there might have been two fires there, or else this quiz is bogus, but whatever.
Lightning, an oil lamp, or an unknown
cause? I thought it was a lamp. I thought I remember reading a lamp.
Okay, we'll let you do one. Let's go with Scott's choice.
Okay, I say like...
Oh, he was right.
Good job, Scott.
14. During the blaze.
What happened to the intense music?
It's still there.
It got more new agey.
It's going, Scott. Just let it roll.
Who cares?
All right, okay. During the blaze... One local claimed to have seen what in one of the upstairs windows of the rectory?
A dog-like creature.
A young girl or a nun? I'm going with a young girl.
I'm going with a nun. Click it.
You're going with a nun?
Click
You're
it.
Sicko. Let's go with a young girl.
Okay. Click it.
Oh, but she was a nun.
Damn
well,
it.
I had... Yeah.
I mean, that would make sense. Or it's probably like a dog-like creature.
It was
15.
It was a nun. It's definitely a nun. Last question.
Last one.
After the fire, part of the basement was excavated and bones were found.
Mm-hmm.
The local parish refused a burial because they believed the bones came where?
A
came
demon,
from where?
A pig, or a witch?
I'd say a witch.
Let's
go with a witch.
Pig or witch, I don't know. Let's go with a witch. Witch, right. witch.
Oh!
Oh, we're wrong. So naturally,
one,
probably
two,
a demon.
Three,
I think we got three wrong.
Four wrong.
Four out of 15. That's not bad. Our Borley history rectory.
Our Borley history rectory?
Rectory history is not that bad.
Yeah, and thanks to our friends at Higgy Pop for making that cool little quiz. It's fun.
Oh,
we fun
should
stuff.
See if they have these. Like, we should do
we
them
should
all
do a
the
quiz
time.
They have
time.
More. They actually do have more on the site.
We should do them on the show. That's okay. How we should, like.
We should make Ghostly Talk music. Quizzes based on the show.
Yes.
I could program that.
Oh.
All right, that's enough.
Okay, yep.
I'm over it.
Yep, done.
Right. That was fun.
Amber and I are like, and you can stop that now.
Yeah.
So yeah,
Quizzes are fun.
Some other things too out there. I was doing some stuff for this show, and another thing came on the wire just today, and this is from Las Vegas Now. News. Documents prove secret UFO study based in Nevada.
What is that? Area 51? Or is
UFO investigators
different?
Are hoping to obtain a treasure trove of Pentagon documents that were generated by once secret military study of flying saucers and other weird aircraft. The government confirms there was a UFO program. It supposedly ended in 2012, but the Pentagon has not yet released any reports or files. The I-team gives the first look at the documents, which proved the UFO study was real and based in southern Nevada. That's all we need to read on that. I thought it was interesting, though.
Well, all this weird stuff keeps trickling out after the New York Times article about the government program investigating UFOs, but then there's all these like different teams of Grant Cameron, Steve Greer, and Tom DeLonge, and each camp has like a different story and different version and saying this person's wrong, this person's right, whatever. So now I'm like, I don't know who's disinformation, who isn't.
Right.
Great, this is awesome. We're just as confused as day one. Awesome. Sweet. Yeah.
My mouth hurts.
You always put such a positive spin. I punched him before you got
home.
You
know what, though? The UFO world, when you start, I never explored it. When I got into the paranormal and, like, started researching and reading all this stuff and studying it, UFO world was, like, over here.
Right.
It was, like, a different subdivision that I wasn't interested in. I didn't ever not acknowledge the fact that there were other life forms out there. Or the possibility of UFOs zipping around our universe, but it just didn't interest me.
Right.
And it also freaked me out on a certain level because, let's face it, UFOs and alien life seem more real sometimes to me than ghosts because we really don't even know what the hell ghosts are. So, but it was a weird subcamp. And then as I started to get more interested in it and explore it more, what a flipping convoluted mess. I mean, it is a mess. I'm not even going to go into it, but it's just a mess of, like, this person saying disinformation, this person calling this person out, whole books potentially written on subjects that are complete bullshit because this person was fed the wrong information.
Right.
And then some people continually referencing those books that are completely wrong and putting them in their books. So like, you're like, who do I believe? What's right? What's wrong? And is that what they want us to believe? Like, to always be in a state of, we don't know. Which would make sense because I have this firm belief that if the government came out on the White House lawn and said, oh, aliens are real, they're out there, we've been talking to them since 1940, whatever, when we had the crash at Roswell.
Yeah.
We would all flip our shit because it would flip everything upside down. It would flip religion upside down. Everything would be like, what? Especially if we saw them. So, like,
well, that's what Doug and I said years
ago,
though.
You can't do that to a community like Earth, because a lot of people can't handle it.
Well, that's what Doug and I said years ago about that. We said the same thing. We said that, you know, I don't think people can handle. Well, let's first start off with the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Thanks for saying
excellent
that.
Reference.
Nice little exiting comment there, Amber.
Loved it.
But let's start off with the truth. And, you know, I have, for example, one of my managers I've worked for a number of years, he actually heard him use this term, where it's a simple thing. It's called the single point of truth. We'll be working on a project and we have all this information in front of us, all these different ideas and all this stuff spread all over all these spreadsheets and stuff like that. And he's like, okay, well, here's our goal. What is the single point of truth here that's going to get us to that goal? And I always thought that was a very fascinating idea. What we have now, and what Amber was talking about before she went to have a bio break, information is so fragmented, so scattered now on all these different platforms, social media, just regular news, terrestrial news, internet news, whatever it might be, right? I think this happens in the ghost hunting community and in the cryptozoological community also. It's no different. You have a group of people who consider themselves scholars, mm-hmm. in this discipline, which is,
exactly.
It's a very loosely said discipline. And I agree with that. I think there are people in all these studies, in UFO studies, for example, people like Stanton Freeman, for example, right? Who are chiefs in the field, right? So those are people, but I've always said those people just have more experience. They're not
right.
experts. They just have
right.
more experience than other people do. So the problem with that is, again, like what Amber was saying, I'm trying to do like 15 things right now.
Well, I can't make your point because
what I'm saying is just you do have a million people that are just that literally are trying to call each other out on the rug all the time.
Oh yeah,
right. And I don't think that's productive. I do think there's a great thing. I think there's something to be added by healthy constructive debate.
Absolutely.
People should do that in any field. I don't care where it is. But the problem that I've always said when it comes to ghost hunting and UFOs and whatever it might be, any type of fringe, you know, study that we're talking about here, is I don't know how you can debate. We're not dealing with, we don't know what this stuff is. I don't care what anybody says.
At this point, you're debating your opinion versus theirs.
You're debating an opinion.
Yeah.
Right? And I do know in sciences, like hard sciences, right, there are a lot of opinions in that. But right. A lot of times that circles around a hard idea that's provable.
Right.
It's repeatable. And it's a matter of how are we going to skin this cat? Right. I mean, I don't know. It's there's a million ways to skin the cat. How are we going to skin this cat? So that's the debate. excuse me, that comes up in those fields. Debating in the paranormal, let's just say UFOs, like Amber was talking about. It's I know what the debate's going to be before anybody thinks about this that's listening right now. Well, I have all this evidence. Well, I have all this evidence, right? And that's where we're butting heads with. Well, you're wrong because of this. And I've seen this stuff happen at conferences. We've had people get into these nasty little tiffs. And I'm like, I don't really understand it. I mean, I think healthy, constructive debate is a lot of fun.
Exactly.
You know, and we have it a lot in our circles about all kinds of things.
We have it on Ghostly Talk chats on a regular basis. But I also think another...
We debate about music.
Issue that
you know?
Is created is everyone wants to be the first. So they're rushing to publish or rushing to put their opinion out with half the data. That's with the news. That's with the paranormal. That's with anything. Everyone wants to be first. So you're getting half the story or half of a bullshit story or... It's just a huge problem because everyone wants to be first.
And I do think there is a mad rush to get the scoop.
Exactly.
When it comes to study and research or even reporting things is obvious. I don't really understand. Even after this conversation, I'm still at that thing where I'm like, I don't see why people would be. I don't get the fighting. You know,
we've been
hearing about this for you. Well, we need to unify. We all need to study this thing together. If we all unified our resources, we could. Yeah, well, I've been hearing this shit for years. It don't work. I'm sorry. And I will be negative with that.
Because you could grab 10 people at random and put them in a room and give them a topic, and they will never agree.
Group dynamics just, I think, is a race of people. I don't have a lot of faith in humans for that. Is a race of people. I am kind of astounded that we have as a race of people gone to the lengths we have. I am astounded every day by seeing just houses. I mean, a house itself really does kind of blow my mind. I mean, this house we're in right now, it's a very complicated system that makes all this stuff happen, you know, just to have, like in our case, hot water. That got a little dicey, right? But there's all these things that have been built upon over many, many years. And I'm really amazed by that. But I'm also kind of more amazed by the fact that we as a group of people or a group of people, for example, that wants to make a car, right, can actually keep it together enough to build a car without it all crash landing into a cesspool of infighting and debating and all that stuff, right?
Right.
Again, I'm not a scholar. I don't work in academia. But it seems like with the paranormal, it seems like the direction should be more sent to, okay, let's study and try to learn something here. And I know there's people that do that. But we do here, and like you were saying, Amber, some of these circles are nasty. These people
are
really
nasty.
No,
there's a lot of infighting because there's difference of opinion. And then when you involve belief systems, and we all know how belief systems go. That's why we're at war with people. they're going to clash, and no one can ever agree on anything when it comes to belief, because that's a hard one.
That's a very personal issue.
Yeah, that's a hard one. So, and the paranormal is circumvents around a lot of beliefs still, and not necessarily scientific fact. And I've always felt that there's probably like a certain subsect of scientists that are studying stuff on a really real level and finding things out, and maybe using physics to figure out some of the things like telekinesis or different things about the mind. We all know that the government has utilized remote viewing and different things to like find targets out there. That's a proven thing. They've used remote viewing in war. It's there. But I've always felt like there is, just like there's always been this hidden UFO program, there's probably this whole hidden, like, psychic, paranormal, and nothing's coming out. I mean, there could be someone out there going, I know what a ghost is. I know what this is. Or I know what causes certain people to have premonitions or experience things like when they pick something up and they get a sensation or whatever. But they're not putting it out there.
Right.
So we have all these hobby enthusiasts that are grabbing some gear, reading a few articles on the internet, and saying that they're an expert. And that's the problem with a lot of this stuff that Ghostly Talk has said for years.
Well, the barriers to entry are very low.
Well, yeah. And the people that claim to be experts in things, and that they're flooding the market, and they're putting their videos up on YouTube and social media, and their dumb photos. And there's a whole ton of gullible, stupid people that love the paranormal. And I know that sounds mean, and no one listening to this show is gullible or stupid, because you're all excellent because you listen to Ghostly Talk.
Yeah, you're all geniuses. You're all brilliant.
But I was being interviewed on a show a couple years ago, and one of the questions the guy asked me was, which we got to have him on the show. But anyway, one of the questions he asked me was, what would you fix about the paranormal? And I was like, oh boy,
that's a great question.
And he asks all of his guests this. And I said, I want to fix the stupidity. And he just laughed. And he was like, that was the most honest answer I've had in a long time. And I'm like, yeah. Because there is so much stupidity, and it's not even stupidity. It's probably unfair of me to say stupidity, but there's a lot of ignorance.
Well, it's ignorance. I don't think it's stupidity. It's ignorance.
It's not always stupidity, although there is a certain degree.
And let's be fair.
It's ignorance.
We're ignorant too. I don't know what's going on.
We don't know everything. I don't propose to know everything that's going on out there, but I feel I'm more educated probably than some on a few things, because I do take the time to research and look up multiple viewpoints in different aspects of a certain topic. But not everyone does that, and it's not their fault. Sometimes people aren't – they didn't learn to do that.
Right.
They read something on the internet and they go, well, it's there. It's published. Someone wrote it. I believe it. They see something. They don't have that – there's a lot of people out there that have never dabbled in Photoshop. It's a beast of a program. It is not intuitive. It's not user-friendly. You have to learn to use Photoshop. It's not like a stupid Microsoft product or whatever's out there. And a lot of people don't always recognize something that's been Photoshopped. If someone's really good at it, they'll put something out there and someone will go, oh my God, that's a ghost. Holy crap. Wow, that's so believable. I see it right away because I've used Photoshop for years. And anybody else that's ever had, you know, that knows Photoshop and stuff, they can recognize that right away. But it's frustrating. And even like big news sources, like, I mean, I'll use Coast to Coast as an example. They'll put out a newsletter. They do a newsletter like every day. They send out an email and they recap the last night's show, and then they give some news and stuff. And like, they'll throw stuff out there like demon dog spotted in England, and they'll throw the photo up there because it's clickbait. And then the next day they'll be like, demon dog debunked. Because someone found the photo that was like a Harry Potter still that they put into some Photoshop picture that people were like, oh my God, it's real. And that's why I hate the internet sometimes. Like, there's so much bogus crap out there, especially for us poor paranormal people that just want to like filter out all that shit. And it just keeps piling on. And that's frustrating.
I grab a dog and I choke him and I kick the shit out of him. And I all day long, I put up a dog's ass. Just bang, bang, bang up his ass. That's my pleasure.
That was the actual audio from the from that picture.
Oh. Okay.
I was just thinking about that. Well, you guys didn't like that? I thought that was funny as hell.
What was that even from?
Did we laugh?
That was from Friday.
I never saw that.
Great movie. Great movie.
I do like Ice Cube, though. It was a good day.
Okay, I think we need to close the show.
Yeah, my mouth hurts. Oh, yeah, you know, and I
oh, we got a crown.
Well, I got.
He's a crown now.
I got my temporary crowns put in. So that was on the tail end of all this shit. That happened this week. I'm a pretty little princess. That happened on Tuesday this week. That was the last fuck you to like my last 2 weeks was me getting my temporary crowns put in, which I'll be getting the permanent ones in a couple weeks. And that really hurts. That sucks. It don't feel good. Take care of your teeth, kids.
Yeah, go,
obviously, I didn't.
Listen to this podcast and then go brush your teeth.
Yeah, go brush your teeth. Eat your vegetables.
Public service announcement. Brush your teeth.
Eat green. Eat green stuff. Watch your sugars.
Oh, my God.
Put that chocolate bar down.
Yeah, this was Ghostly Talk.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This was, yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Yeah, this
that was
super
Bonnie.
Cool.
I'm Ember, and that's Scott. Princess Scott. Goodbye.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
You
should stop
have
it.
Ended it right
you
there.
You should have, but you failed. Now we have to keep this on there now.
Well, I can edit it.
No, you can't. You have to leave it. You have to leave this part.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Now you can stop it, Scott. I said so.
Ghostly Talk. Version 3.0. Debbie remembers how to live.